he came from well, it might have been further back than that. He came from Belfast, Ireland, and he settled in the cane brakes down in North and South Carolina.
What was his name?
His name? No, that his name was Edmund. Was just like the fiddler, we always called him Ed. That was his name. He had four sons, and I don't know whether he had any daughters or not. But anyway, one was Edmund. One of the sons was named Edmund. The other one was Jesse. And there was was one of their names John?
Might have been.
But anyway, they came the uncivilized Indians were going to make a raid on them, and they got out and left where they were in the cane brakes, came up into Kentucky. After they came up into Kentucky, then my grandfather and his father, Jess, see, my grandfather John, and Jess was John's father. They got into a fight with the Fluties, people by the name of Fluties. And they were on the, or near the mouth of the Big Sandy River, where it empties into the Ohio. And Eden, that was one of the, my great-grandfather's brother, he started to swim to the where they were having the fight, you see, and he was pretty drunk and drowned as he tried to swim.
You know, Curtis told me that story.
And now, great granddaddy, great grandfather, he had a knife stuck down on top of his head, and the blade broke off in his head. And he was beaten with clubs till his ears was full of sand, his eyes was full of sand, his mouth and his nose. He was on the bank of the river, seeing fighting and gnashing of the blood. And there was a woman took him in and washed him up and dug the sand out of his eyes and his ears and more or less nursed him back to health. And my grandfather, John Hammonds, he was hit in the side of the head with what they used to call dye wood. You know, they'd take chestnut wood and split it up and then make dye out of it. And that's what he was hitting at the side of the head with. And he still would hold his head to one side. I have a picture of him. And Buck Flutie was killed in the fight. Well, they crossed the Big Sandy and went up, well, probably wouldn't have had to cross to Big Sandy. Anyway, they went up to the Tug Fork of Big Sandy and settled there, and that was in McDowell County. And the reason they did that, they knew that they would get in trouble over killing Buck Flutie. So I don't know how long they lived there at a Tug, And then they discovered, evidently some of them came over to the Three Forks of Williams River and discovered that place, and they came on over and settled there. Mm-hmm. And now, Daniel Hammonds, that's Mark, John, Jess, and Pat's father. He's buried over right close to the mouth of Laurel Run on Williams River. He had been to the store, lived at Three Forks, and had been down to Dyer, to the store, and was going back, and he stopped to get a drink, and he had a heart attack and died right there at the spring. And they, some of the people, Hickman boys and some other people took him, and just, he was buried right close to the creek, right on the bank of the creek where it just dropped off like that, and then the river just breaks off like that, and he was buried right there. And the Forest Service put up a marker at his grave, and but I was thinking that could have been part of what Kearns was talking about, that fight where the knife was broken off in my great-grandfather's head.
Yeah, he told a story about down at the Kentucky border and somebody swimming to a boat and dying, and he told me that story. Now, where did you get that information?
Well, Daniel Hammonds' son told me the most, and mother told me a lot about the Hammonds too. Mm-hmm.
There was a John in the Eden, Frank, and John. Jess Hammond had a John. But that would have been your grandfather.
No. He would have been John. A great, great grandfather. You see, Jesse and Lottie would have been my great-grandfather.
Yeah.
And John was my grandfather. So, you see, and that Eden was, would have been Jess's father, which would have been my great-great-grandfather. I think I'm right. She didn't say anything so much to me.
No.
Did you,
I should make
Do you remember any other stories like that about the early people, about their travels getting to this country? That your mother or Daniel?
Well, probably you have heard of Webster County. The Webster Countyans would never allow Negroes in the county. Have you ever heard that?
Heard that.
Well, It's a custom, and you talk to most any of the old people, and they'll tell you that for years and years they wasn't allowed. Now I think they are, but you don't see very many Negroes around in the county of Webster. Samson Hammonds, now that's my uncle, Samson. Mm-hmm. He was a half-brother to mother. He and old John Hammonds, that was Daniel's son, they were in Webster Springs, and young fellers, you know, and they, John, Daniel's son, about all he ever done was sell whiskey, dealing in whiskey. Mm. He made it, and he ordered it and sold it, and in fact, one time He had a state license to sell whiskey, but he didn't have a county license. So they were right there in Webster Springs, you know, where the old hotel bottom mm-hmm. is. They were right there, and they got after him because they were selling it there in the on the land, and that was in Webster County, and they didn't have the county license, so they just rented a boat, just shoved it off of the bank, and they didn't sell their whiskey. They could sell it because the water was a state property, you see. Uh-huh. And they would just, when somebody wanted a bottle of whiskey, they just he just run out close enough to reach to him and get the money and just move back out. And so John and Samson were, well, they were related and were good friends too, evidently. So this family of Negroes came into Webster Springs, and they moved into a little long, I can remember seeing the building. You know, back of the courthouse, on that street that comes in right to the courthouse, there's an old bank building. It's been there for years and years. It was the first bank that was in Webster Springs. Mm-hmm. Well, near that, near where that bank is, this long, just low house was built there, or right on the side of the street. Well, this family of Negroes moved into that building, and now Uncle Samson told me this. And he said they were having a jubilee. It was along about 9 or 10 o'clock in the night. He said him and John went down to the river and got some kind of a bag full of round river rocks, you know, that was good to throw. And they carried him up and got up above the street across from where the Negroes were. And they were having a big jubilee there, evidently kind of celebrating being in the new home. And Uncle Samson said about the time they got to singing and dancing and having their good time, they started lobbing those rocks down over on top of their house and breaking the windows out. And they just kept lobbing those rocks down over, and it said pretty soon they started out running down the street, a hollering, "Town murder, town murder." And they went on down, and some of the law lived down in the lower end of town, and I think maybe it was the mayor at that time. And they stayed all night in where they would have protection, and that was the last that the Negroes were allowed to stay in Webster County, Webster Springs. Mm-hmm. Now that was his story, and it I don't know how people would take things like that at that time. So I couldn't judge whether he was really telling the truth or not. But Uncle Samson wasn't too bad to just tell you a big yarn. Now Ed and Neil and those there was another John Hammonds that I'd forgot about. And he was a brother to Ed, and Mother always called him Big Mouth.
Well, it was Pete. Big Mouth Pete.
Yeah, that was Pete. Mm-hmm. Now let me think a minute. He had a son named John. Pete, do you have that?
Big Mouth Pete?
Yeah. He had a...
I don't have their children.
Johnny was a cripple. You know, it's been so long since Pat told me about these different families that it's slipping my memory. But I know he did have one son named Johnny. Now that was Eden's brother.
Well, that's what I just finished telling you. This family of Jess Hammonds, you see, which was your great-grandfather, right?
Jess Hammonds was Pete, Eden, Neil, Paris, their father. See, Jess had a son named Jazz, and he was Uncle Eden's father.
Yes, but there's two Jesses.
Great grandfather was Jess, and he had a son named Jess.
Jess, Ed, and Frank, and John.
No, that's too far back.
Okay, then. That's the old one, then the other one.
See, the Jess that married Lottie Broughton Ethel was the father of John, Jess, Daniel, Pete. He was the one that went to Montana. Daniel. I believe that was all the sons he had. Well, what was another one?
John, Dan, Jess, Dick, Pete, Betsy, and Nancy.
Okay.
And that Eden, we don't have any. He didn't have anything at all on him. He didn't know who his wife or if he had any children or anything at all about him.
It should have been. His wife's name was Lottie Broughton.
Right.
Okay. Now that Jess had another Jess, had a son named Jess.
I just read it over to you. John, Dan, Jess, Dick, Pete, Betsy, and Nancy.
Okay. That was the one. Well, now Jess's children were Eden, Pete, Neil, and
Paris.
Yeah, Paris. Yeah. And then there was some girls.
Well, just too many repeat names here.
There's a few jazzes, wasn't there? Beat and repeat.
Pete Paris and Neil Jane Dicey.
Yeah. Now, there was a John Coger, and his mother was a Hammonds. Dicey Hammonds, and they had a son named
John Coger?
Yeah.
Was that?
They called him Meaty Head.
Oh.
I think Uncle Ed.
That's too much. That's too much.
Well, and Paris was another one of their.
Yeah.
And Norman was one.
And John?
And Early.
Yeah.
Early was the
one that died.
Yeah, he was burned up in that middle. Well, actually, that Pete Hammonds' son, John, I'm sure he was a cripple. He was a cripple from birth.
So you don't know anything about him at all, what happened to him?
Well, he died not too long back, maybe in the 30s or somewhere along about that time. I remember his death, hearing of it. See, he was a brother to, who was the woman's name that Joe, no, he would have been her uncle.
Krauss, Emma.
Yeah, he would have been her uncle. You know, there was three of those girls married. Ellen married a McCoy, and there was two more of them married brothers. They all three married brothers.
Lucy.
No,
was,
Lucy, she was a Malcolm. She married a Malcolm. No, Sig married a Malcolm. Lucy did marry a McCoy, yeah, that's right.
And that was Emma's mother, was
yeah.
Lucy. I knew that.
Ellen. And Lucy, and I don't know what the other one's name was. But I just can't, unless that would have been one of old John's sons, and I never, no, that would have been the age wouldn't have been right on that.
I just have a feeling that it's some of those, that other St. Hammonds.
Well, that's the only person that I can think of where the age bracket would coincide with, you know, the information mm-hmm. that we have. On the John Hammonds. Mm-hmm.
Where did you say he ended up when he lived in Ohio? Did you say Reidsville?
Reidsville.
It's just across the river from Belleville, West Virginia,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's between Parkersburg and...
yeah, they have a roller dam there now.
It isn't. It's about 18 or 20 miles from Parkersburg, isn't it? On the Ohio
yeah.
side.
Mm-hmm. Down.
Yeah. When did he go out there?
In 1929.
Well, that's a puzzle.
I'd like to know who that
yeah.
is because it's
And he played a banjo and sang.
That's what Karen said, yeah.
Well, it definitely wasn't that John Hammond that we...
I don't know. Couldn't have been him.
And the recording dates were in 26, 27, and 28.
Yeah, you see, at that time, he lived up here in Big Run, the John Hammonds, the Sampson's John. Uh-huh. He lived in Big Run up here, and we just lived just up there from Bowl Air, and we were with him nearly every day.
Well, then when he left here, they had they were taking care of the Golly Camp School.
He was
the
caretaker, and
his wife
worked as a cook there at Golly's Camp School, which belonged to Dr. Dan Kessler.
Did you know Edden?
Edden Hammond?
Yeah.
Mother, sir. Yes, I knew him. he was a character.
Tell me a good one on him.
Well, I don't know any that's too pleasant. They're pretty smutty.
Yeah.
Oh, I do remember they said he was fighting with somebody, and he'd always said, told other people, now when you fight to kill. Don't stop till you just fight to kill and you'll just merely conquer. And he got into a fight with this fella. And he had him down, I suppose, beating on him. And the fellow somehow got Edden's thumb in his mouth. And boy, he started chomping down on that thumb. Then Edden looked down at him. He said, let's quit this damn fight. that's just one of the... No, I didn't hear that story at all. Myself, it's just hearsay.
Yeah.
And then there was a beer joint down here at Price Run, and they had some pretty rough times there. Well, they got Edden to come in and play music for them. They was having dances, and my brother and boy by the name of Hayden Starcher, they had some, I don't know whether it was moonshine whiskey or what it was, but anyway, they had got Grapeette. That was a soft drink, you know. They had mixed some of the whiskey with Grapeette, and Uncle Edden wouldn't hardly play unless he was drinking. So Hayden Starcher was with my brother. They said, Edden, don't you want a drink of Grapeette? And he said, now damn Grapeette. So they finally talked him into the notion of taking a sip of the Grapeette, and they spiked it pretty heavy with whiskey. And after he had taken a little sip of it and found there was whiskey in it, he said to him, now I like Grapeette. They passed it to him a few times and got him pretty woozy.
Well, isn't he the one that moved to Ohio?
Yeah, they talked him into notion. I think maybe one of his girls moved to Chillicothe, Ohio, or maybe one of the boys. But anyway, they talked him into going to Ohio, to Chillicothe. He was there just a short while, and he came back. And somebody said, well, Ed, how do you like Chillicothe? He said, now damn chili. He didn't like Chillicothe, huh? Damn chili. Yeah, he married a half sister to my mother.
Oh yeah.
Betty. But that his first wife was Fields, and he wouldn't work. He never would work, evidently. She'd say, "Go to work, Eden. Go to work." He said, "Every time I get down my fiddle to play myself a tune, it's go to work, Eden, go to work." And, well, the Fields woman, she ran off and left him. And he was out, he got somebody to go with him. Well, I think maybe she was down in Clay County, somewhere down in the southern part of the state. He got somebody to go with him, and they went to her sister's house. And he went in, and he just started looking at her like that, up and down, up and down. And he had it to turn around, and he just still kept looking at her. And he said, "Now that is Betty up and down, if it wasn't for that damn grupper tase." Evidently she had a crooked tooth. He called it a grupper tase.
A grupper tase. Who was it? This fellow I knew up in town, he said one time they, I don't know whether it was the Ku Klux or somebody, but they took Eden out and they gave him a pretty good whipping, said he better get to work and take care of his family. And when they got done, they gave him a sack of groceries to take home. And the way the story went anyway, he said Eden brought it in, laid it on the table, and he said, "Now you kids, touch light on that." He said, "Your dad took a good whipping for it."
I bet that was the guy that had the used car lot.
Ashley?
Yes.
No. The one who told me that was Jimmy Dowdle.
Oh, Jimmy Dowdle. Jimmy probably played some of him, did he?
I guess a little.
Yes, I mean,
yeah, he might have.
I mean,
well, it's about time for me now.
Well, I don't think that I've been any help to you, but
well, I've enjoyed.
Enjoyed your company.
And maybe
to
I'll be
back.
I'll be